Oh, welcome to the Coolest Mouth Book Club podcast.
The first book club podcast to be recorded.
Live.
Live.
In front of a studio audience.
God, they love it.
They love it out there. We've got people from the ages of 6 to 60.
Oh, yeah. There they are.
There they are. That's the 60-year-olds. Yeah. Shout out to them.
Shout out to them.
Welcome to the Coolest Mouth Book Club podcast. We are very lucky to be having this episode filmed, which is exciting.
It's very exciting.
We are recording this 2 days after we recorded our last episode of the Coolest Mouth Book Club podcast. So we haven't read stacks of books in that time, I don't know.
I have.
But that doesn't stop the fact, Barney, that I have to ask you a question.
Please.
And that question is, what is a book?
Let me tell you what a book is. A book is a way to while away the afternoon reading text, ideas, and getting to know what is inside here.
Now, for those who aren't watching a video, Barney pointed to his cerebellum.
Very good.
Which is part of a brain.
Yeah, which is part of a brain.
Brains are composed of many parts.
Exactly.
And in many ways, I like to think that a brain is quite similar to a book.
Yeah. Well, please, Matt, what is a book? Explain to me.
Well, a book is like a paper brain, and a brain is like a fleshy book.
Wow.
So if you were to open up a brain and flip through the many folds, the many folds of the white matter and the grey matter, you will find all kinds of little items in there. Things like memories, things like ideas, things like opinions, and some things I like to call fantasies.
Hello, Dr. Freud.
That's me. I'm Dr. Freud.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm Dr. Freud, and I believe everything is about your penis.
Yeah, really?
That's his. I think you'll find if you read Dr. Freud, that's what his.
That's
main
what his main. Yeah, his main thing was. Well, I am a little person called Big Bird.
Big Bird
from Sesame Street, and I think everything is about penis.
You think a Big Bird thinks everything is about penis as well?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
He's never seen a penis? No, he's only seen cloacas.
Did your parents ever call, not necessarily your parents, did anyone ever call like your bum your clacker?
No.
Yeah, I think my family was like, oh, you know, kicked him up the clacker. And I feel like clacker comes from cloaca. But by the same token, I think that my sister, her name's Abby, we used to call her Abby Dabby, and I think that comes from Abu Dhabi. But that's just not the case.
Yeah, right.
Some words just sound the same.
Yes, they do. Have you ever kicked a bird in the ass?
You can bird up the clacker.
Up the clacker.
No. I don't think I've ever kicked a bird.
No, neither have I.
I once crushed a finch with a bed.
Oh, my God. What is it with you, an animal?
I have a lot of sad stories
about animals. Yeah, that's... Oh, God.
None of them intentional. I've just been surrounded by so many animals.
Yeah.
Like...
That
statistically speaking, you are going to encounter death.
Yeah. That you cause?
Well, no, I didn't. I guess, cause the finch one. The bird flew underneath a bed. We tried to move the bed and it was crushed by the bed.
Oh, God. Well.
This is the Cool and Smart Book Club podcast. So we're recording this in a sort of a kitchen space.
Yep.
We're being listened to by our very good friend Bryce. This is... It is unusual for us, isn't it, in that it's the first podcast we've done that does actually have some kind of third person.
Here. And I'm finding it very hard to look at you and not just constantly spike the camera at all times.
Yeah, it's enticing.
It's very enticing.
To barrel this sort of stuff.
Look at, straight down that black hole.
But Barney, may I distract you?
Yeah. Okay.
Barney, what are you reading?
What am I reading? Same as last time.
For those who haven't tuned in, what books are you in? Books are you in?
I'm in. Are you in a book?
A little book called My Diary.
Yeah, nice. Okay. And, you ever keep a diary?
I keep a diary.
You still do?
I journal like a freaking psycho.
So is that like at the end of the day or at the start of the day? Or like
end of the day, usually.
End of the day. So it's like reflecting on what...
Yeah. So a bit of gratitude practice, that sort of thing. You know, just a little bit of a write down, a few little jotting some notes, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. See, I wish I should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gratitude thing is great.
Gratitude
thing is great. I'm a psychologist.
What are you reading?
What am I reading? I'm reading A.C. Grayling's The Knowledge.
Frontiers of Knowledge. Yeah.
And then I'm also reading Her Body and Other Parts, which is a short story collection by an author whose name I cannot remember.
Carmen Maria Machado.
Very good. Very good.
You're welcome.
It's excellent. It's really, really excellent. So I'm still reading that. I've also been doing a lot of reading for my thesis.
You have.
About kids with autism and what happens when they become adults.
Ah, with autism.
With autism, yeah.
Interesting.
So it's been super interesting. And apart from that, reading-wise, I have not... I've read the TV. I've been watching the Olympics.
Oh, the Olympics.
Yeah.
You ever read a book about the Olympics?
No, you?
Nope.
This is the Cool and Smart Book Club podcast.
Did you barrel the camera while you were doing that?
Yes.
Great. Right. We'll get used to this eventually. Well, Barney, it's fine that you haven't read all these books and that we don't have a lot of book stuff to discuss.
Yeah.
I'm also reading the same books as I was the other day. I'm reading How to Raise an Ox by Frances Dojan Cook and On Against Creativity by Ollie Mould.
Ollie Mould.
Which are both fantastic. But last podcast, I did mention that the next podcast I was going to do, I was going to ask you 50 questions about books.
Yeah, sweet.
we've already eaten into a lot of our time that we're going to ask those. But I thought, you know, I could ask them off the top of my head. Mm. I could write all the questions. But instead, I Googled 50 questions about books.
Great.
And I got a result here from February the 22nd, 2019.
Uh-huh.
This is an article on the website Owlcation.
Owlcation?
Like a vacation for owls.
Like owl as in like a...
Like Owlcation.
Owlcation. Yeah, okay, that's great. That's where Hedwig is.
That's Hedwig is. Hedwig. We lost Hedwig, tragically.
We lost Hedwig.
This article is called 50 Questions About Books and Reading to Ask Your Friends.
All right, great. I'm ready.
So, Barney, first question is are you my friend?
Yeah, I'm your friend, Matt. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the first question?
No. Oh. I just tricked you into admitting it. This is written by a woman named Poppy, and it says, Poppy is the author of A Bard's Lament and the Black Diamond series.
Ooh.
She lives in Enoshima and likes to read novels and play video games. And Poppy, I think we'd get along just fine.
Poppy, great. Oh, lovely to meet you.
Do you want to hear the preamble?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's just get straight into the questions. Yep. We've got 50 of them.
Okay, ready?
And I'm sure that this will be riveting. Yep. Number one, Barney, what's the first book you ever remember reading?
like by myself, it would probably be like one of those like Aussie Bites or Aussie Nibbles books.
Okay.
But I can't remember the exact one. I remember reading Morris Gleitzman's Bum Face. Yeah.
See, it's funny that you brought up Bum Face because there was a lot of bum books when we were kids.
Yeah.
And one of the ones that made me think of in terms of Aussie Bites and stuff is one by our good friend Tim Winton.
Yeah.
He wrote The Bugalugs Bum Thief.
Oh, I read that. Yep.
Yeah, that is a sick book.
Yeah, that was great.
Used to terrify me.
Yeah.
The idea of someone having just their bum removed.
Yeah, no bum.
I'm a relatively bumless person.
Mm. You don't really have a bum.
I don't really have a bum. I just go legs, back.
Yeah.
That's it. And there used to be a Lane on Woodley joke where they talked about how his grandmother didn't have a bum and you could drink soup out of her bum.
Oh, because it's like a bowl.
It's concave. Not that you'd want to. But anyway, that's what I always think of when I think of the Bugalugs Bum Thief.
Great. Yeah. So all right. I'm going to go with that.
Next question.
Yep.
We're scoring this as well.
Oh, right. What did I get for that?
You find out at the end.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yep.
Number two. Did someone read to you when you were a child?
Yes.
Number three. Number three. Who's your all-time favorite book character? Who's a character from a book?
Hedwig. Not Hedwig. Fuck Hedwig, man. I don't like Hedwig at all.
You like Kvothe from The Name of the Wind.
Which one?
The main guy.
Oh, that guy can fuck off.
Okay, the reason I'm asking you though, Barney, is because sometimes it's important to know what we don't like to find out what
we do like. Okay. I like the character of James Bond.
What James Bond books have you read?
I have none.
Okay, what about any characters from like Lord of the Rings?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them all. Everyone, every single one. Gimli, great. Aragorn, it's my favorite.
Aragorn's your favorite?
Yeah, Aragorn's my favorite. Yeah.
Great. That's it?
That's it. Merry and Pippin.
I was reading some good facts about Pippin last night.
Yeah, tell me.
Because he was a member of a very prestigious family in Hobbiton.
Really?
And him and Merry, because of the tree draft that the tree beard gave them to drink, they grew to be the biggest hobbits of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how big is that?
Just towering.
Towering, huge.
Of a mountain.
Imagine if they replaced the two towers.
Yeah, it's just Merry and Pip standing next to each other.
Yeah.
He also had a son named Faramir.
Wow.
And Faramir married Samwise Gamgee's daughter.
Wow.
Whose name was, I think it was something like, it wasn't Merry-Go-Round, but it's close to that. it was like Goldilocks or something.
Right. Because he marries Rosie, doesn't he?
I don't know. I haven't read the book. I saw this all on a meme.
Okay. All right.
A reliable source. Question four, Barn.
Yep.
It's actually a two-parter.
Oh, great. Okay.
Barney, who's your favorite author of all time?
Oh, my God. I really like A Fraction of the Whole, so that's like...
Stevie Toles.
I love Stevie Toles. But like in terms of like return reads and people releasing books that I've got to read the new one when it comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I love David Sedaris.
Surely it's David Sedaris. Love David Sedaris.
Yeah, yeah, all right, it's David Sedaris.
What's your favorite book by them?
It would definitely be Calypso is definitely my favorite.
I thought so.
I love Calypso.
I was pretty confident about that. I could have answered that one for you.
Yeah.
Question five. How do you think this is going?
Is that actually five?
No.
I don't know. It's not going well for me because I can't think of anything.
Okay.
And these are all like questions. I thought they'd be like questions like, what's your favorite? Like less definitive than like, who's your favorite author?
Right.
You know.
I think they'll probably get vaguer as we go on.
I hope
so. At
the
moment it does feel like a grilling.
It's a grilling.
Are you ready for this grill?
Yep.
Has a book ever changed your life?
Wow. You know what? Actually, yes.
Well, good. I would hope so. We do a book club book. Yes.
But it's not a fiction book. It was a book. There's two. Mm-hmm. One is a self-help psychology book called How to Change Your Mind by Dr. Sarah.
I was reading that on Lucid the other day.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
It's really good. And it gave me really... I remember at the time, it would have been 2015, and my mental health wasn't very good, and I read that, and it was just like so, everything was so actionable and evidence-based, and I found it so helpful.
Maybe I'm not thinking of the same book, because the one I started was all about like psychedelics.
Oh, that's Michael Pollan.
What's that one called? How to Change Your Mind or something? How to Change Your...
Yeah, maybe I'm confusing the title, but the Sarah, Dr. Sarah is... How to Change Your Thinking, maybe.
Yeah.
How to Change Your Thinking.
What are some tips?
It's just all CBT. So it's all like thought challenging. It's all about considering alternatives, you know, thinking about whether the accuracy of thoughts and, you know, like the ABC where it's like thought, behavior, action.
Mm-hmm.
So just like considering that if you were catastrophizing or whatever.
Yeah. Now, for those at home who aren't sure, of course, CBT.
Cognitive behavior therapy.
Right. Not if you're thinking it's not cats buy treats. It's not that.
That's a completely different therapy method.
It is. It's not. Yeah, it's not
cats buy treats.
Not cats buy treats.
No.
It's not crabs biting titties. It's none of that stuff.
That's so another don't therapy.
Do some CBT on that thought.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's definitely not Cooper's diddly.
Starts with a T. So it's not Cooper's diddly.
CBT is not Cooper's diddly.
It's not Cooper's diddly.
Yep. Glad we cleared that one up.
Number six, Bar.
Yeah.
What genres do you love?
Oh, shit. I like sci-fi. That would be like one of my favorite genres.
Sci-fis are cool.
I like literary fiction. That's just like, what is that?
It's the most nebulous genre in the world.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean, I don't know, that. Obviously, you know, talking through on this podcast, I don't like fantasy books. I don't like biographies. And that's...
You don't like biographies?
No.
Did we talk about biographies the other week, or were we just going to?
I think we talked about them a little bit. I'm not sure whether it was on the last episode where we were talking about, you know, biographies where it's like, why did you've been paid to write this because of your stature versus the interestingness of your story?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I've read a great deal of biographies.
Well, I mean, David Sedaris' books are technically biographies.
Yeah.
But it's not like... And then I went to school.
You'd call it like sort of memoir short story sort of stuff. Yeah. Or it's not autobiographical fiction, that's for sure.
No.
Okay, if you could rename literary fiction, what would you do with it? Because like literary fiction, like the Topeka School, that would be literary fiction.
Yep.
Normal People, you could argue, is probably literary fiction. Yep. Steve Toltz, that's literary fiction.
Yeah.
But like what's the... I mean, do those three books have anything in common?
Yeah.
When?
It's like exploration of the human psyche and the relationships that impact on it.
So is it almost like it's almost like intimate fiction or something. Like, yeah, it's getting inside someone's head. And I guess, because I feel like literary fiction is probably quite an off-putting genre to someone who isn't a literary nerd, you know?
Yeah, I guess it's meant to be, I think so. Because then there's like fiction, or, you know, like more mainstream fiction, where you've got like your bestsellers like Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code.
Literary fiction.
Yeah. Is that literary fiction?
Well, probably not, because it's shunned by sort of anyone who would consider themselves literary. So they're probably like, fuck that.
Mm.
That's not literary fiction.
Yeah.
Who gets to decide, you know?
Exactly.
Well, it's a question of power.
It's very much a thing at the Unnamed Bookshop that our fiction section is literary fiction, right? And we don't buy books that don't fit. I mean, yeah, in Australian fiction it's a little different, but we don't buy books that don't fit that. So I would love to know what the criteria is of like what.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things. It's like a very sort of Foucauldian thing to think about. But like, what are the power dynamics behind who gets to choose? Because it's one of those things that Foucault talks about. It's like the power behind psychology is that you get to determine who is weird, basically.
Yeah.
You get to decide who is. You pathologize something and say, well, that differs from the norm. So you, by doing that, they are deciding what the norm is.
Yeah. It's funny. We actually have been doing this in class, but yesterday, where we're talking about diagnosis and prevalence and all that kind of thing, and what is, when we, it's specifically child psychopathology, but one of the things is like, what makes a normal child? And it's like, you as a psychologist, the thinking is not that you are the one that determines what is normal and what is not normal. You are instead looking at behaviors, because psychology is the study of behaviors that are maladaptive for people in situations that bring them poor outcomes. That's the idea. So like, if someone is behaving in a way that is making their life harder,
yeah,
then that's where you would treat them.
I guess the thing that stems from that though is like, it makes their life can be made harder by the behavior depending on the environment they're in.
Well, that's the difference between psychology and psychiatry. Hey. So psychology is about considering the individual and their environment, where the psychiatry is more about considering the individual in terms of treating them with a medical model of how to treat them with the drug to get rid of the thing quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
So would you say that psychiatry treats the symptom more than anything else?
I mean, they both study behavior, but psychiatry, much like medicine, where it's like, if you have this problem, take this and then you'll be better. That's like psychiatry's kind of way of operating as well.
Cool. I think, Barney, because of the setup, where the environment we're in,
yep,
this is a much more professional.
It is very, yeah.
We're talking very seriously about serious topics.
Do you think, you know, that this setting reminds you of one of the houses from the television program Friday Night Lights?
Oh. No. Yeah, I love Friday Night Lights, but
to me it does.
Okay, whose house do you know?
Buddy Garrity.
Buddy Garrity? Yeah. You'd have a house like this because it's like, oh, is it a stable over there?
Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me of a house from maybe like The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful place. A lot of exposed brick.
Yep.
A wooden sliding door.
Wooden sliding
and
door.
And a lot of stainless steel and marble. It's beautiful.
Beautiful, yeah.
Do you want to hear question 7?
Yes, I do.
Okay, question 7, I actually already know the answer to. Are there any genres you dislike?
Okay, yeah, fantasy. A bad...
What else?
Bad self-help.
Bad self-help. You hate bad self-help.
Yeah.
And bad self-help to you is like...
People that are not qualified to write books about helping other people with their issues they might have with mental health or their behavior.
Okay.
And prescribing generalist... unresearched or recommendations that do not have evidence because they have conceptualized them as being things that work within their own life, and then marketing them as a fix-all for everyone else, and they can be therefore in that circumstance detrimental.
Fair enough. That's bad self-help. What's your take on... Okay, so because I've thought about you saying this before, but like, what about like... philosophers and schools of philosophy and stuff who didn't necessarily who conducted their own study on just their observation of other people and that sort of stuff wasn't necessarily empirical, and this isn't necessarily the empiricism rationalism debate we've had before.
Yeah.
But like, what about a modern work like that? Like, for me, there's just some I can't really think of an example, but it reminds me of like modern books could arguably just be things that are it's someone just espousing their own personal philosophy.
Yeah.
So they're saying like, well, this is my philosophy. I guess the problem is when people say, like, this will fix your life.
That's the problem, where it's like, this will fix your life. There's no issue with people.
When people are prescriptive.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do these things and your life will be awesome. It's like, well, then you're avoiding environment, right? Because it's like you have no idea who's reading the book. If you were, like, you know, a modern-day philosopher and you came up with some things that you thought were important that you'd observed in other people and you haven't tested.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is what I saw and this is what I thought. That's whatever.
Yeah, right. Sure. That's just reporting observation.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Good to know. Question 8.
Yep.
What author who is still living would you dearly love to meet?
Oh, God. I'm Steve Toltz. I'd love to meet Steve Toltz. I'd love to meet David Sedaris. I'd love to meet Robbie Arnott. I'd love to meet Ali Smith. I would love to meet... I really want to meet J.K. Rowling so that I can be like, so what happened?
What happened,
love? What happened?
What's wrong?
Yeah, what? Why did you start with the...
Why did you get so involved?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I've met David Sedaris.
You have.
I met David Sedaris.
Yeah.
Sucked in.
Yeah. Great.
I met David Sedaris and he answered... Actually, no, I don't think... I think I was going to ask a question. I didn't. So I haven't met David Sedaris.
Yeah, okay,
I've seen David Sedaris in person. It's not the same thing.
I've constructed a memory of me
being like, excuse me, David... My friend Barney wishes he was here.
And well, you're here, true. Matt, so awesome.
And he gave me a thumbs up and he gave me a big kiss.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Give me a kiss, a hug and $1 million.
$1 million?
Give me $1 million.
That's friggin' awesome.
all of those other authors, bar maybe J.K. Rowling, seem very achievable.
Yeah.
I reckon you could meet Robbie Arnott at the Unnamed Bookshop, Steve Toltz at the Unnamed Bookshop.
Yep.
I'm about to ask you the next question. I already know the answer to one of them, but the next question is, have you ever met a famous or semi-famous author face-to-face and where? See, like, we saw Luke Carman a couple of years ago. That was cool.
That was awesome. That was really fun. That was great. That was super interesting. In terms of other authors, because at the Unnamed Bookshop, we have, well, pre-pandemic, had lots of author launches. So I've met lots of... And I've also met lots of authors coming into the shop. And here's a tip to anyone that is an author or is wanting to be published as an author and does succeed. When your book does get published, don't come in to a bookshop and order the people working there to put your book up the front.
Oh, no. Can you name and shame?
No, because I can't remember any of the names because none of them were like...
Because they were just randos.
It was just like not a big deal. There was one particular author... And they were incredibly rude. And I can't remember. Yeah. Yep.
Well, they're cancelled.
Yep. Or some of the one that stayed back, kept us back for 10 minutes or something. And then they were like, oh, sorry about this, guys, but my book is just over there in that section. And I've never seen a worse response from four people watching this person. It was just like,
what? Wait, at a book launch?
No. So... There was no book launch on that night. They were just in very late buying books. And then they came to the counter and said, I'm allowed to be here late because my book's on the shelf over there.
Oh, right.
I was like, oh,
so like
you?
I own part of this space.
Off. Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you just want... I mean, I love hanging out in a bookshop as much as the next guy, but like, you don't want to hang out past closing.
Yeah. And then be like, it's all good because I've written a... It's like such a guaranteed way to make sure if anyone was to come in, which happens a lot at Christmas time, and says, I don't know what to buy. What can you recommend? It's a surefire way that no one will ever recommend your book.
Yeah. You want the booksellers on your side.
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted to hang around and schmooze with you and make friends so you would recommend their book.
Yep. Well, it didn't work.
Didn't work. So have you ever you've had a chat with an author?
Yeah. Again, I'm going blank on... I've chatted to a few authors. I've had a good chat. But I can't remember a single one of them.
Do you prefer paper books or paperbacks or ebooks?
Paperbacks, 100%.
Paperbacks, and they haven't given you an option for hardback.
Yeah, I hate hardbacks. So
really?
Yeah, I can't stand it.
Yeah, you have mentioned that
it's
before.
It's so heavy.
Is that the problem?
Well, it's just like it's not as easy to read because I always read in bed, so I don't want to hold a hardback.
You a book folder?
I'm a folder. I'm a scruncher.
You scrunch up the
every page I finish, I scrunch the page.
Scrunch it up. Hey, would you ever eat a book?
Yeah.
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 Same.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think
Why
so.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Just to, like, Did you eat a lot of paper as a kid?
Yeah, I ate heaps of paper
dude,
as a kid.
Dude, same. Thank you.
Licking glues?
Dude, I love licking
glues.
Love licking a glue stick. Yeah. Love rubbing the top of a glue stick and then sticking your fingers together and peeling them apart over the lid of the glue stick, and you'd make like a spider web.
That was awesome.
Unreal. Yep. Love painting PVA glue on myself, peeling it off.
Yep. Yeah, that was great. It's like having an extra layer of skin.
Yeah, love doing that.
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember in year four, one... kid, like we all had the PVA or whatever it is, glue that's non-toxic and it's for kids. But one kid had like real deal glue. We all got a sniff of that.
Yeah, a little sniff of the real deal glue. Yeah. What about, did you ever get a mechanical pencil and push the lead out as far as you go? Then if you held it down, you could like look like you were injecting it into your skin.
Yep, did that a lot.
Dude, here's the thing. You can have so much fun with stationery. Yeah.
I have a terrible story, actually.
Okay, hit me.
So I was in year eight, and I was sitting at a table with this guy I didn't know that well. It was an elective subject, and it was technical drawing, actually, where... doesn't matter. I'm getting distracted. So he had a migraine, and he picked up a pencil, and he said to me, stab this into my hand to make... because then the migraine pain will go away.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, and did it, right? And I did it really hard.
Did you break skin?
Oh, yeah.
You stabbed a man.
Yeah, stabbed a man with a pencil, very sharp pencil. And I was like, oh, God, because it looked like it hurt, like it was a serious puncture. And then the next day, he came to school and his whole hand was bandaged up.
Oh, no.
And at one point during the day, he was like, excuse me, I've got to go change my bandage. And there was like blood going through the bandage. And I said to him, I was like, that was from me.
I did that. He asked you to do that.
I know.
Barney, this is a really intense podcast. I've confessed to killing a bird. You've confessed to stabbing a man.
Yeah. It's this professional setting.
It's this professional setting. It just makes me want to confess.
I want to confess here.
I also, there was another time in primary school, another stationery related stabbing. Because they're all just flooding back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. We've unlocked something here.
I was using the electric pencil sharpener in grade one.
Mm.
And I sharpened my pencil to just a really, really sharp point. And I was so excited. I was going to run around the corner to show my friend how sharp I'd made the pencil. As I ran around the corner, I ran into someone, jammed the pencil into my nose, and again, let go of it, and it could like stand out of my face like I was like Mr. Squiggle.
Oh my God.
I was Big Squig. And then, and to this day, I have like a very small piece of pencil lead in my nose.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Another time. Oh, my God. Yeah. Another time in grade five, I remember I was squeezing a stapler while I was telling someone something, and I squeezed too hard, and a staple went into my finger.
Ouch.
And then I thought it was, you know, I was going to die and have to lose my finger, but then I showed the groundskeeper. Obviously, I have a great relationship with groundskeepers.
Yeah.
He was just like, oh, and just pulled it out because I thought it had curled around.
Oh.
But it hadn't touched bone, so it
yikes.
Couldn't. Anyway, this is the Cool and Smart Book Club podcast.
So we're doing 50 questions about books.
At the same time, I'm doing 50 questions about being stabbed with stationery. Question 11, Barney. We're really getting through them.
Yeah, wow.
Question
only
11.
39 to go, yeah.
Have you ever read a self-published book?
I must have.
Yeah?
I must have, yeah.
Self-published book. I'm trying to think if I've ever read one. Like an e-book or something that some rando's done.
Yeah.
That'll
yes,
be lovely.
Yes, I have. Yeah. that'll be good, won't it? That'll be good in an audio format.
That'll be sweet.
I read, actually, you've read it as well, Copy Wrong to Copy Right.
Oh, that's true. I have read that. I mean, I've skimmed it, I think. Is that self-published?
Yeah.
Great book. Mm-hmm. Teaches you how to copyright, baby.
Exactly.
Let me tell you, that is a fun job.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt, you should elaborate on... can you?
I don't know. I do copywriting and it's really tedious.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's like a verbal puzzle.
Oh.
And sometimes it's boring.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's boring to... edit words.
How about work? Hey, how about work?
Here's the thing, there's two ways that you can make money: labor or capital. Capital works better.
Yeah.
Did you labor? You can't win.
Why not?
The system's rigged.
Oh, Jesus. So, okay, let's get into this.
Capital or assets?
Capital or assets? Labor or liberal? That's
well, those are your two options.
Those are your two options. All right.
Me? I'm a greenie.
Me? Yep. All right. Next.
I'm a pinko lefty.
Yeah. I'm a communist.
I'm a bleeding heart pinko lefty.
Wow, yep.
But I hate labor.
Red's under the bed.
In the sense that I hate working. Anyway, yep. I self-published book, I think I send you a picture of one. I found one, as I am wont to do.
Yeah, you love to find.
Outside a...
Do you think the Easter Bunny leaves those books for you?
Easter Bunny,
the real Easter Bunny.
The whole world is my treasure hunt.
Yeah, he's always working. Or Easter Bilby.
Easter Bunny, he does lots of labour for no reward.
No reward, there you go.
Same as everyone.
We're anarchists.
I found it. No, I found a book outside the Brisbane Hotel in Hobart.
Great.
Which is a great little grungy little dive bar.
Oh.
Where all the best punk gigs in the world have been played.
Wow.
But outside there, I found a book that was bound with, what do you call it? Twine and duct tape.
Nice.
And it was called something, it was called like There'll Be Morning or something. I'll send you a picture of it. It's all like, the inside is all written on a typewriter by the looks of things.
Yep.
The outside has been coloured in grey lead pencil. It's honestly, it's an ominous book. I haven't read it all the way through because I think I might unlock something.
Yeah.
Like it's a spirit.
That sounds quite creepy. What is it about?
Well, I don't know. It's just called, it's I haven't dived in. It gives off a House of Leavesy vibe to me.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like, to have just found it for someone to have made this book with their own bare hands and then just leave it on the road.
Yeah.
It's like Tom Riddle's diary.
Yeah, that's creepy. Have you still got it?
Yeah, I think it's in my house right now.
Oh, God.
I got it when, after listening to Finding Drago.
Yeah.
Amazing podcast.
Yeah, so good.
Couldn't recommend it more. But that's about some people hunting down the author of a self-published series of books.
Yep.
And I was like, Barney, I happen to have a very creepy self-published book that I would love to know some answers about. Maybe we can investigate this. And we never have.
We never have. Oh, we should.
We should. We should. Other than that, self-published books, there's a lot of improv self-published books.
There are.
A lot of those sort of guidebooks and stuff are self-published.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Like Zen and the Art of Improvisation by Jason
Segal. Chin. Okay.
Jason Segal from How Many Mother. I love that guy. Hey, you know who he played? He played David Foster Wallace.
Really?
In a
oh my God.
In a
movie.
Yeah.
Don't oh my God. Good. He's Segal, isn't he? Because then there's a Jason Segal.
This is Steven Segal. Barney, question number 12.
Yep.
What book or series do you hope and pray will be turned into a movie or TV show one day?
Ooh.
You have to think of a book.
I just can't think. Oh, well, it would have been June, but June, it's happened and it's happening again.
It's happened and it's happening again. We still haven't watched the first one.
Yeah.
We should.
We tried.
I fell asleep, didn't
I? Yeah, you did.
Great. Good. What a great night. And honestly, a great night.
It was a great night. Well, that's happening. So I guess, I mean, and I wanted normal people. Oh, conversations with friends. I would love to see.
That is getting made into a TV show.
Okay.
Your wish is their command, brother.
Bloody hell. I mean, I remember when Tim Winton's series, the short story book, The Turning, was made into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the best of any of the book adaptions that have been. And I've always wondered why that's not happened again with another author with a really good collection of short stories. I'd love to see.
Short stories being turned into. That's a good idea. Especially with like the glut of anthology series that exist nowadays. You've got your Twilight Zone reboots. You've got your Black Mirrors.
Yeah.
Your et ceteras.
Exactly. Oh, Ted Chiang. He wrote Stories About Your Life, which got turned into Arrival, the film.
Oh.
Yeah.
The alien one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
So he has two collections of short stories, that and Exhalation. And there are, in both of those, there are multiple other short stories that could be made into films. They're brilliant. So,
that's unreal.
Yeah.
That's really cool. For me, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I want to see Harry Potter made into a TV series.
Yeah, well.
Not as movies.
Yeah, right. Like starting from book one.
Yeah, chapter by chapter, episode per chap.
Mm-hmm.
So much stuff is left out.
Mm-hmm.
You lose so much of just the almost like teen drama.
Yeah.
Like we mock them.
Yeah.
We mock them, but we mock because we love in a way. Mm-hmm. But those books, the arc of every single chapter is an absolute joy to behold. Like every single chapter has a beginning, middle, and end.
Yep.
And it's truly a serial.
Yeah. It's the reason why it's so successful, right? Like as much as we mock it, it's like, well, it did something well.
In fairness, we mock the author more than we mock the actual book itself. But I think, like, if you made it like a, not a gritty reboot, but like turn the grit up a little bit, like, you know, the level of grit in, say, the third movie.
Yep.
Apply that to the stories from, like, if I would love to see the first book remade in the style of the third movie and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Just adding a little bit of that pepper to it, I think would be really fun. Like an HBO series, like they did with His Dark Materials.
Yep.
They made a movie of that. It sucked bumhole. Mm-hmm. They made a TV series of that. Honestly, it was, I would say, it was a lot better, but still didn't quite hit the mark for me. But if they applied that level of rigor to a Harry Potter series, I'd be freaking into it, brother.
Hell yeah.
Question 13, we're on a track here. Well, do you think there are any movie adaptations out there that were actually better than the book?
Yep, I do.
Okay, next question.
Perks of Being a Wallflower, I thought the movie was so much better than the book.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Stephen Chbosky?
Yeah.
He wrote that too. He might have even directed it.
Well, he did better on the second try.
But that's cool though. Yeah. Like, he would have, I guess. He was intimate with the stuff and then he just went through it and he had Emma Watson on show. Mm. It was great. That's a good film.
On show.
I know. I as soon as that's coming out of my mouth, I was like, that sounded awful. Emma Watson was in the film. But so was, who's that other guy who's turned out Ezra Miller? I think he's a real freak, apparently.
Oh, really?
Like, there's videos of him like choking his fans and shit.
Oh, God.
He's a nasty man.
Oh, dear.
He's cancelled. He also played The Flash.
He did.
Anyway, he's dead to me.
Yep, nice. Cancelled.
Cancelled. Question 14.
Yep.
Has a book you like ever been turned into a movie or TV series and you hated that adaptation?
Well, I don't know how I stand about the I used to love the Lemony Snicket books.
Oh, yeah.
And the original film adaptation, at the time I was like, what? But now looking back at it, I'm like, that is fantastic.
See, at the time, I'm the opposite. At the time, I was like, cool. Mm. I was like, why are they cramming all three of the books into this movie? And then sort of like, they ended it so that they couldn't really make any more movies. And I was like, that feels like a weird... Even as a kid, I was like, that doesn't feel like a very smart decision.
Mm.
But then then they made... What was the other... then they made the TV series with like Neil Patrick Harris and stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I... really enjoyed that.
Mm.
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I thought it was way better. I think it's more close to like the style of a Harry Potter thing, for example. Yeah. Where they just treat every... I think every episode was like half a book. It worked a treat. It was great.
Yeah. I just liked the colour in the film a lot. Like the way that it was always sort of like really ominous skies.
Yeah.
I
think the TV series was more colourful.
Yeah, it was more colourful, but I like the kind of drabness of that. There must be so... Oh, I don't like... I liked Normal People, the book, and I hate the TV series.
Yeah, that's fair.
I find it so painful.
I binged the TV series, and I enjoyed it, but, like, so much less than the book.
Yeah, I was just like, what this is... Everything that people had criticised the book for, I saw in the TV series.
Interesting.
I was like, the like likability of these characters has just been torn out of this, and it's just like, we're young, hot, and guess what? We talk a bit like robots, and we're sad.
Yeah, I think you lose a huge amount by not being able to be inside their heads.
Yeah, which is a huge part of the book. But yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And like, realistically, there's actually not that much exciting action and stuff because it is very much a psychological book.
Mm.
And it's a beautiful book. But yeah, the adaptation was good, but not incredible. Another adaptation that sucks, Eragon.
Oh, yeah.
Eragon sucked.
Yeah, they really stuffed that one.
And dude, I loved Eragon. Yeah. I thought it was the sickest shit in the world because it was written by like a 14-year-old or something. And I was like, oh, man, Christopher Paolini.
Well done,
Christopher, Chris. Be my pal.
Yeah, be my pal.
Eni. Hey, this is my pal, Eni.
Yeah. you know what was a really good adaption, actually, to go back to the last question? The Dry, the film adaption of that.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's so good.
I loved that book.
It's so good. Yeah, it's great.
That was another example. If we talked on the last pod about books like 3 hours and that sort of stuff, those sort of, what do you categorize those as? Because I don't think that's literary fiction.
It's like crime. That one's like crime fiction, isn't it?
Surely, that's a good call. Yeah. But it's almost like airport fiction. You know what I mean? Like a book that you can just plow through on a plane.
Yeah.
I didn't read it on a plane, but like you could.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of genre as like The Room. Like Emma Donoghue. That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's a book that I have a distinct memory of reading on a plane.
Mm.
where they're just like, they're so charged that you can just power through them.
Yeah.
I loved The Dry.
Yeah, so good.
It's the sort of book that I wouldn't expect to, because I was probably, I think I was on my literary high horse at the time, and I was like, oh, this is beneath me to be reading.
Yeah.
And when I read it, I was like, God, I'm a poser.
Yeah.
Hey, ma'am, what's more important to you? Prose or story? The events in the plot or the way that it's written?
I know. I was trying to decide what was more important to me. Probably the prose, I would say. Cool. Like, it's really important that it's written in a way that I like, because I don't go in for books with a lot of, like an exciting plot, but it's not written in a way that I...
Mm.
Yeah, so probably the prose.
So then, like, so a book like, I would imagine that a book like your, the sort of slog books we've talked about, like a Ulysses or an Infinite Jest and that sort of stuff, those would be prose. You'd be in it, you're in it for the prose, really. I mean, I've never heard a question posed that way, but it really clarifies a lot of things for me.
Well, you can't really separate them, can you? Because now you're saying the slog books, I'm like, oh, I don't want to read those.
Yeah, exactly, right? Mm. Like, because I would have probably said, my first instinct was to say prose as well.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I probably prefer the story.
Yeah.
If the prose is nice, I'm like, oh, cool, that's a bonus. But if the story's compelling, I don't really mind. Like, I've read so many, like a lot of probably the fantasy books and stuff I've read, or if you go back and you read a book you read when you were a kid, you'll probably find that it's the story that's really exciting. Like in the Harry Potter books, the way the prose isn't amazing.
Yeah.
The amount of adverbs in those books would make Ernest Hemingway shit himself, shit his own face.
They would make Ernest Hemingway shit his own face. Yeah.
But the... But like the story is so well constructed, like the nose for story that J.K. Rowling has is unbelievable.
Mm.
It's the same, like I say, in a lot of the fantasy books I've read, is like the story is what keeps you there, because it's a joy to be
a part of it.
A part of it.
Dragged along on horseback behind it.
Yes, with just ropes around your ankles.
Ropes around your ankles and thieves aside you. That's I assume that's what happens in.
I love that everyone else is privy to seeing you do your shrugs after you do a joke. Both of us, I'm sure, when after we do a joke we don't really like. Sorry about that one.
Thieves aside you.
Sea of thieves.
Sea of thieves.
What's a book that you've read?
Imagine that as a visual. Welcome to the Sea of Thieves.
It's actually a pretty popular game.
Millions of thieves writhing around making waves. There's sharks in amongst them, octopuses, boats, whole industries built on the Sea of Thieves.
They're screaming. No water.
No water. Just thieves.
So what's a book you've read that you think has really good, like what made you say prose?
Like just the way it's written. I don't, like I love Ted Chiang, the way he writes science fiction.
Mm.
It's so restrained and it's like it feels purposeful. Every sentence feels like he's written it on, you know, like there's a reason why he's used these words and like
You know what? I reckon you're right. I reckon you do like prose because it makes me think of like a book like The Dangers of Smoking in Bed is the prose in it is incredibly unique.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it such an interesting read.
Mm.
The stories in it actually aren't like...
Oh, I mean, the
stories are interesting, but it's not really like... It's not really a story in like the traditional sense of the word or anything like that. They're interesting concepts, but they're delivered in a very, very nice style of prose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you probably don't like the slog books, but you do like prose in short story form.
Yeah.
Would you say that short stories are maybe your favourite genre?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yep, absolutely.
I think so too. What attracts you to a book, Barney? The cover, the blurb, recommendations from others?
Recommendations in terms of in terms of people that I know, very important. In terms of like Stephen Fry's got his name on every fucking book that's ever been like when recommendations are on a book, I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
But cover is very important. Like,
yeah,
I'll pick something up and I'm like, kill cover. And then the blurb, yes, the blurb's important as well.
Cool. What's the best blurb you've ever read?
You
couldn't think of a character from a book earlier. I can't expect you to remember a blurb.
Yeah, I can remember a blurb. Probably The Dangers of Smoking in Bed. I really like the blurb on that.
Good blurb on that. Great cover on that.
Great.
All round, really good book.
Yeah, great.
And for me, definitely recommendations from others. For me, it's usually it's recommendations by way of other books. You know, like I'll read a book and then I'll go on Wikipedia or read some interviews with the author or whatever, and then they'll mention books, and then I'll go and read that. Go down the freaking rabbit hole.
Whoa, yeah. See you down there, Lewis Carroll.
Yeah, see you down there, Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
see you down there, the March Hare and the Dormouse.
Oh, my God. See you down there, Queen of Hearts.
You got it?
Yeah, nice. See you down there, the Caterpillar Cat.
See you down there, Cheshire Cat.
Is that... Oh, okay.
There's the Cheshire Cat, and then there's the Stoner Caterpillar.
Oh.
Who is actually kind of my spirit animal.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Is it because he smokes weed?
It's not actually confirmed that he smokes weed. He smokes a shisha. It could be peyote.
Yeah, it's peyote. He's probably smoking opium.
He probably is.
Yeah.
You ever smoked opium?
No, I never smoked opium. Have you?
No. Hey, any listeners out there, if you've smoked opium, hit us up.
Yeah, let us know what it's like.
We met a guy at Vicar's earlier. Yeah. He could get us some opium.
We met a man earlier who could definitely, get some opium.
He was a shoplifter. It was cool.
Yeah.
He seemed like a nice guy. Barney, have you read any of the old classics?
Wow, Poppy, what a question. What are the old,
the old classics.
Classic.
The Epic of Gilgamesh.
Oh, God.
The Bible.
Oh, no.
Have you read Charles Dickens?
No.
Nor have I.
No.
Stodgy.
Yeah. I'm not interested, Charles.
Not interested in old Dick. Yeah. I'm not interested in Charles Dickens either.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in... Not interested, but like your Dostoevskys.
Yeah.
Your...
the Russians.
Oh, the Russians. Oh, I've read the Russians. Your Chekhovs.
I've read Chekhov.
I'm sure you've read Chekhov.
Yeah. Wow. What a hoot.
What's this gun doing here, yeah, et cetera?
Et cetera. Oh, you mean that this young farm boy is going to get ignored by his father? Or this young woman is getting ignored by her old eccentric mother? What? And what's this gun doing here?
And a seagull.
Yeah, and a seagull.
That's everything I know about Chekhov.
God, it's boring.
So you haven't read any of the old classics?
Does like Hemingway count? Does Scott Fitzgerald count? Does...
those two are fine.
Roald Dahl. Yeah, Matilda. Love Matilda.
Have the same birthday as Roald Dahl.
You do?
I do.
Really?
Me, Shane Warne, and Roald Dahl.
All together
the
now.
Classic
trio.
Same year.
You were born in the same year.
I was born in the same year as Roald Dahl.
And Shane Warne.
Unbelievable. No, I think they're old to us. Right.
Well, what is it exactly? It's such a ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I hate that. Fuck you, Poppy.
Fucking Poppy.
Poppy, if you're watching this, you Poppy at Alcation. We hate question 17.
17 is terrible.
The follow-up question is, what did you think of them?
Oh my God, move on, Poppy.
Oh,
lazy.
Here's a good one.
Yep.
Has a book ever scared you or given you nightmares?
Oh yeah. Yeah. When I read Stephen King's Salem's Lot, gave me nightmares after the first night of reading it.
Wow.
House of Leaves gave me nightmares. Shirley Jackson's Dark Towers gave me nightmares as well.
There you go.
But they were like more like, ooh, how creepy and fascinating nightmares. Wow. Rather than just like terrifying. How about you?
I don't know that I've ever had a nightmare.
Never.
I mean, like I did, I know I had a recurring nightmare where I was a kid, where I was walking into like a town square and there was a fountain there and it was a beautiful day, and then all of a sudden like the sky turned black and the fountain water turned green and I fell into it. And I remember the smell. It's a weird memory that's associated with it. But since then, I like haven't really had any nightmares.
Wow.
I had that really scary dream a couple of months ago where I was having a tantrum.
Yeah.
But that wasn't even a nightmare. It was just a... Honestly, I think that a lot of that attitude comes from doing a lot of acid.
Well, and being like, every trip's good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just you learn no such thing as a bad trip, brother. You just learn something from it, don't you?
What did you learn from the green fountain?
I mean, I don't really know. I haven't really, I've tried to think about it before, but I don't think I've really gotten anywhere.
I used to have this recurring nightmare when I was a kid that these green witches three would, they were glowing green, these glowing green witches would, they'd lean over my bed and they'd make this, all together, they'd chant and they'd make this noise and they'd go, hee, 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 hee.
Oh my God, you do that all the time nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Hee, hee. Yeah, I know, because they went in me. they do that. And then I would get up and I'd go downstairs and I'd be like, Dad, what are you doing? And he'd be like, I'm packing for our camping trip. And then I would go back up and they'd still be there, but they hadn't even noticed that
I was
gone.
All in a dream.
All
still.
In the same dream.
Oh, my God.
And they go, hee, hee, they still. And then I would go to where the doorbell is in our house and ring it, and then they'd go, they lived in the doorbell.
When you woke up, were you like wary of the doorbell?
Hell yeah.
Wow. Can I also just say, we need to normalize people saying the number after the subject. Instead of saying three witches, those witches three.
Three, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like I'm looking over there, look at those stools three.
Stools three. Look at that chair one.
Yeah, us podcasters two.
Two, yeah, great.
I love it. Yeah, you do go hee 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 a lot. You love witches.
Yeah, I love.
See, whereas for me, I don't know how much I love green fountains.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of... I like fountains now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm attracted to fountains now. Yeah. Not sexually.
Yeah. Oh, no, that...
I'm on the record saying I've never tried to fuck a fountain.
Thank God. Okay, I'm glad we got that out. We were, you know, because there's been a lot of chatter. There's been a lot of chatter going around about you and fountains.
There is speculation. Barney, are there any books that are really popular... that you dislike?
I mean, I'm sure there are, but for the... Oh, yeah. There was a book that came out that won an award, and it's called... Is it called Less? And it's that guy falling, and it's meant to be like this hilarious comedy book.
Yeah.
Won like the Pulitzer.
It's about like what happens when you get rid of all this stuff. Like it's almost like a fictional story about minimalism. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember reading the first couple of chapters... And I thought it was one of the most painful, like it was trying so hard to be funny and it was so painful to read. So that was, it's probably a big one. I absolutely despise that book. But apart from that, like, I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of The Da Vinci Code.
Dude, The Da Vinci Code slaps.
I'm not a huge fan of the Girl Who Played With Fire or whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah, Girl With Dragon Tattoo.
Dragon Tattoo.
Have you read those?
Yeah.
Not into
it. Yeah, it's good because, like, the main character's like, working at Millennium is so damn hard. Mm. Now I'm going to go, oh, I'm so sexy, I'm going to go bang this lady and I'm the coolest guy ever. Like, I was always like, yeah. True.
Isn't it Daniel Craig?
I like the movie of it, actually. That movie. Good. I like that movie, really, yeah.
David Fincher, baby. I read The Da Vinci Code in grade 6 and I loved it.
Oh, did you? Did you like
that? I was in grade 6, so I'm a fucking genius.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Didn't realize it was quite pseudo-intellectual. Yeah. Pseudo-intellectual meant intellectual to me.
Yeah.
Still does.
Great band, Pseudo-Echo.
Pseudo-Echo.
Which is also a great name.
Great medication, pseudoephedrine.
Pseudoephedrine, excellent for making you feel better when you got the flu.
Oh, and just one of my favorite branches of science, pseudoscience.
Pseudoscience. Yeah, absolutely love pseudoscience.
Question 20.
Yep.
Are there any books that are considered terrible but are your secret pleasure?
Oh, no.
What's your guilty pleasure, Bob?
No, I don't think that... No, I don't believe in secret pleasures.
Are you, yeah, I mean, I'm with you with that whole idea of like, there shouldn't be guilty pleasures. Be proud of your pleasures.
Just
take no shame in the things that bring you pleasure.
I'm sure there would be. Like, Harry Potter is definitely like a big cringe thing, especially at the moment. And I really loved those books. But apart from that, I can't really think of anything. What about you? Name of the Wind?
No, my guilty pleasure is hardcore horse erotica.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
No, I don't really have any guilty pleasures. I read a lot of spiritual literature and things like that that I don't like to talk about a lot.
Yeah.
It makes me sound like a big wanker, which is probably an impediment to my own spiritual progress.
Yeah, you should be letting your spirit fly free.
I should be letting my fleet flag fly.
Yeah, you let your fleet flag fly.
I let my fleet flag fly.
Yeah.
Because I'm on fleek.
Yeah, nice.
Hey, Barney, what's your favorite book cover?
I love The Dangers of Smoking Bad. I like Normal People. I like the cover of Exhalation. I like the cover of Exciting Times, actually. I've never read it, but I like there's two toothbrushes and it's like a big sort of...
Two toothbrushes?
Yeah. Oh, what's the time check?
The time, we're about 55 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So we'll probably start wrapping up. We got through 21. Hey, Barn, instead of what's your favourite book cover, as in the paper on the outside of the book, what's your favourite cover of a book, like how they do with songs?
Yeah. Or like a reimagining cover. Yeah. I probably like the version of the Iliad covered by me. And it's done so well. It's just so intellectual, that my version of it. It's difficult to decipher on the first read, and so you need multiple readings of it. But yeah, it's really quite good.
That's really cool. I really like when there was a cover of of name a book.
Any book.
I was gonna say. So here was the format of the joke. I really liked it when there was a cover of book title by band.
Right. Okay.
That's what I was gonna do. Cool. The band I had in mind was The Verve.
Righto. Yeah.
So that's how that joke would have gone.
Yeah. Cool. That's. Okay, well, what a great end to the podcast. Strong end. Thank you so much, Bryce, for having us here.
Thank you as well to the studio audience. Everyone from 6 to 60.
6 to 60. We didn't reference you a lot, but we felt you the whole time.
It would have been nice if you laughed.
Yeah. No one laughed.
Everyone
no
hated
one
it.
Laughed. No one laughed.
No one laughed. Everyone hated it. Everyone hated it. That's
yep.
fine.
Yep.
No, yeah, this has been the Coolest Pineapple Club podcast.
Yep,
that we got through 21 questions.
That's pretty good.
And we'll do that. We will do it week after week.
Oh, God, until we get it done.
Until we get it done.
Oh, Poppy, you really shackled me with this.
You've been shackled, brother. Nah, we'll try and read some more books and talk about books.
Yeah, we'll try and read. We'll try and read some books. We might try some reading books.
One day we'll have a guest.
Yeah, one day.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen, and I think it might be a celebrity guest.
I think it might be Shania Twain.
I think it might be Shania Twain. Or Sarah Jessica Parker.
Or Hugh Jackman.
It might be Hugh Jackman.
The Jackman.
The Jackman. He's going to talk about The Boy from Oz. Cool. So we have a show on the 8th of August.
7th.
7th of August. Damn it.
If you're not... If neither of us are right, whichever one is a Saturday.
Yes. Whichever one is Saturday is when the show is. Please come along. We could do improv. Apart from that, watch this space because there might be some pretty groovy videos coming out.
That's true. Yeah. We're working on doing some more kind of content. I guess. Yeah. We're working on putting some content together. So, yeah, follow us on at Cool and Smart,
yep.
KEW and SMART on Twitter, on Instagram. And as of today, we have a TikTok, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing on it yet.
But, nothing on it. Don't go on there yet.
I mean, do follow us just in case.
No.
And also, we also our Facebook page, but.
Absolutely.
That's
Facebook's dead.
Facebook's dead.
Yeah. Cool.
The show, yeah. August 7th. Go to improvconspiracy.com. Buy tickets. It's called The Cool and Smart Very Funny Comedy Hour. Yeah. It's going to fucking kick ass.
It's going to kick ass. We love you. God bless you. And stay safe and well in this time of trouble.
And don't forget, get the jab.
Get the jab.
Goodbye.
Bye.